and welcome to NextPod, VP NextGen's podcast made for veterinary students and young professionals who want to know what's next. I'm your host, Sarah Said, and this month we are touching on how the human-animal bond plays a role in veterinary medicine. Here to discuss this subject with us is the founder of Pets Help the Heart Heal, Dr. Stephanie Jones. Welcome, Dr. Jones.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming to talk to us. So I just wanted to start with kind of an intro about yourself. So, you know, which college and university did you attend and how did you get to where you are today?
Okay, so I like to say I am an Arkansan Aggie Gator vet. So I am originally from a little town in Arkansas, 25,000 people. I went to Texas A&M undergrad and got my bachelor's in animal science. And then through my mother saying and my sister saying, hey, the University of Florida has a vet school and a medical school, because my sister was interested in medical school. That's how I ended up there. And I applied and got in and I graduated from the University of Florida in 1999.
Awesome. And how did you decide you wanted to, one, become a vet, and two, I guess, focus on the animal-human bond?
So I knew that I wanted to be a vet since I was like, I think maybe 10, 11 years old. I think that's kind of the story for most of us. But the interesting thing I think about me was that I didn't really have a lot of pets, but I just kind of knew that that's what I wanted. And we had a career day at school and my teacher invested in me. And she found out that that's what I wanted to do. And she took me with her to a rabies vaccine in the park with her and her dog. And that really made an impact on me. And from there on, I was like, this is what I want to do. And so that's kind of what cultivated it. And then I got here after I graduated in Florida and I stayed in Florida. And I've been in practice for, this is my 22nd year. And so things kind of, you know, changed. And, you know, I was comfortable in my career. I was established in the community. And then I'm like, all right, now what's the next part of my journey or chapter of my life? And I wanted to figure out how I could give back. And so this kind of all just fell into place.
Nice. So can you tell us a little bit more about the organization that you work with?
So Pets Help the Heart Heal, I started in 2019. And I tell people it started with a smile. I was at a foster care organization with my sorority, and we were doing an art therapy project. And so the kids were all around the table, and they had to write down in the corner the challenges that they were facing. And I was oblivious. I didn't even know what kids were experiencing. And so I was seeing bullying and judgment and, you know, low self-confidence. And so one young lady or a little girl, you know, she was doing the work. And that's what I always want to tell people. It was like, it wasn't like she was depressed or she was doing the work, but she just kind of was just didn't really have an expression on her face. And all I said was, if I brought my dog, would you play with him? And she smiled. And that it was a literal spark in me. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come, I'm going to bring my dog, I'm going to let them play with my dog, and I'm going to talk about veterinary medicine in the midst of all of that. And so that's how it was birthed. And we've been moving ever since.
Yeah. You know, obviously when we think of clients in veterinary medicine, we usually kind of think of pet owners, you know, like forming a connection with them. And that's obviously very important for a business. But I feel like sometimes we forget how important the human animal bond can be in the field just with your pet patients. So it might seem like an obvious thing, I guess, for a vet to be interested in that, but how much of a priority should it be when it comes to medicine? And like, as a doctor who specializes in this topic, can you share with us what you think is the most important thing for young vets to know about this connection?
So I tell my staff all the time when I'm dealing with clients, dealing with patients, and I now say, I'm like, the human animal bond is real. It is real. I didn't really know that that's what I was dealing with. But when you understand that the connection that clients have to their pets, the bond that is cultivated, how much they rely on each other, then that is really and truly where their emotions, their heightened emotions come from. And that made sense. It makes sense now. And so I think as veterinarians, we have to understand that that bond is there, and we have to do our part as veterinarians to protect the bond. And so that's through patient care, because if we are taking care of the patients and providing them the best quality of life that we can within the realm of what we have, then we're doing our part to protect the bond with the client.
So for those who are not maybe as familiar, like, what exactly would you describe to be the human-animal bond in the first place?
So I just take it with the AVMA, and I just kind of use that. And the American Veterinary Medical Association defines the human-animal bond as a mutually beneficial and dynamic relationship between people and animals that is influenced by the behaviors essential to the health and well-being of both. So the pets are providing health and well-being to the clients, and the clients, by taking care of their pets, are providing the health and well-being to their pets. So it is mutually beneficial, which I think when we hear about the human-animal bond, we mainly hear about how it benefits people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a misconception where it's one-sided.
Yeah. And so for young vets who are want to focus on this bond and develop a relationship with their clients, as well as develop a deeper relationship with the animals, like, do you have any strategies or tips, or like some kind of step-by-step thing that they can do with the animal to have that bigger connection?
So I feel like for veterinarians, we are innately bonded. That's why we got in the profession. So I'd say relax for the veterinary students. Relax, that part will come. It is really more about the communication with the clients, because for new veterinary students or new grads, right, you're going to be newer to them. They don't know you. And so ironically enough, it's about communication. It's a conversation. It is about you, once we're back in the rooms, in the exam rooms, it's about you having a conversation, asking them about their pet. Where did they get their pet from? What are some fun things you like to do with your pet? And then it's your engagement. It's the client seeing you interact with the pet. So if the dog is on the floor, then I encourage you to get down on the floor. And so not only are you establishing a bond with the pet or the dog, that client is seeing you interact. So then you're building a trust with them, and the dog is building a trust with you. You're not overpowering them, you know, and scaring them. You're trying to come down to their level. And I think that will help initially. And then everything else I think will come into play. We have the knowledge, you know, and the training as far as how to take care of the animals that are in front of us. And so then it's just that communication with the clients that will be what we have to work on. And I work on it every day.
Mm-hmm. And so if maybe like somebody who's more new to the industry, like for them, they might get maybe overwhelmed by obviously the amount of patients that they would have to communicate with and see. Is that something that, like, do you have any tips for confidence on that level, so that they can try to maintain this positive bond with each person as much as possible, or each animal?
You know, it's interesting. I rely on my team a lot too. I rely on my staff. Some staff members have been there longer than others. They know the client, they know the pet. They can give you ways to approach the pet. You know, if you need to, don't come from behind, you know, all of those things are valid. And I think if you have a more positive experience with your patients, just in that, I think that gives you confidence, right? So relying on your team is going to be key. Relying on your team, even in terms of helping to communicate with clients as well, because you are going to have so many patients in front of you. And so then when you are utilizing your staff to do the work, you can take time and spend with the client and educate the client. You can do your part as a veterinarian. And it's just going to take time. It's going to take time. It's going to take a little trial and error to get in your groove. But it will come.
Mm-hmm. And is there any, I don't know exactly how to word this, but maybe like a negative impact of the human-animal bond? And when I say that, I mean, like, obviously it's great to have the human-animal bond, but maybe compassion fatigue would be like part of that.
Yes. So And you see that too. And that's a very good question, because when you realize that the human-animal bond and you see this innate connection that these clients are having with their pets, and then they become family members, and probably more than that. I mean, I've heard clients, they'll say, I love my pet more, you know, or they'll say, I haven't even gone to the dentist for this tooth that is hurting in my mouth because I need to come and see why my dog is coughing, or, you know, it sneezed one time. So it's more intense, I think. And so because of that, the demand on veterinarians is going to be more. So for me being out for 22 years, it's changed. Before it was, I could just give a plan, maybe give a couple of words about the patient care that I wanted and moved on. Now it's, I do have to spend more time in the room, and I do have to really walk them through the whole thing because they are so emotionally tied to their pet. And so that has, even for myself, that has been a little bit more, and that is a little bit more pressure. So I do feel like that. And then that liability and accountability ties in. It's a little bit more heightened now because this is their lifeline. But I have to remind myself that, you know, I'm doing the best that I can. And so I am offering quality care and quality medicine. So for me, being 22 years out, if I've done that part, I'm okay. I know that's going to take a little bit of time for new grads, but I've done it, and then I'm good. But with that also being said, I have seen the, actually it's, I call it a PTSD for some of these clients. Like, they are so, people, they just literally cry. And all I said was, she cut her nail. You know what I'm saying? The nail is hanging off, and it's impressive in that respect. So that I feel can be a little bit of a hindrance to us, but that they're going to expect and demand a little bit more from us too.
And so when it comes to the compassion fatigue that veterinarians are facing as well, in terms of the human animal bond, like, does that, is there any strategies that you deal with to, you know, obviously you want to have that relationship, but you also don't want to just extend yourself so much every time so that you're drained, right?
Right. And so so there's a couple of things, actually, now that you said that. One, I feel like educational material, tools and resources for the client, give them something to do. So if I easy something like, oh, your pet has intestinal parasites, well, they may take it to a whole nother level, but here's some articles. Don't panic. My favorite line is, you don't panic. I will tell you when it's time to panic. So that's my other favorite thing. And so then that kind of calms them down. It's also about the relationship that you have with that client. If you've been with them since they brought in their first kitten or their first puppy, all right, then they're going to trust you, you know, and so you're going to develop that relationship, and that's going to be very beneficial to you. That's number one. And number two, like I said, tools and resources, give them something to read, something that lets them know that they don't need to panic at this point. And this is some of the things that they can do proactively for the patient care and well-being. So that's how I deal with that part of it. Once again, I set my boundaries, and I'm like, I've given you all this information. You need to read it, and don't rush you. Come back unless, you know, if it's not something that has to be a decision that has to be made immediately, then I'm going to be like, process it, digest it, telemedicine, Vitus vet me, text me, let me know what you're thinking, and then we can go from there. And then for myself, I do have to find some outlets, because it does kind of wear and tear on you. So I exercise. I am big on walking either by myself, walking with my dog. I do kickboxing, you know, and then ironically enough, my give back, it helps me tremendously.
Yeah. Awesome. And I mean, I have a question that's like side note, because obviously I'm not a vet, so I don't really know this, but is kind of talking about improving the human animal bond part of treatment in general? Like, let's say a pet comes in, there's some sort of issue they need treatment for. Do you kind of add in, like, you know, it would be good for them and their mental health and your mental health almost to play together more or do this together more or hold each other or whatever that is.
It's becoming more as I get more education and training myself on the benefits of the human animal bond in veterinary medicine. It has become more of my dialogue. And I don't even think that I do it. I think I do it more just conversational wise, you know, it's like, it's going to be helpful for you too, or, you know, and I don't have like, did you know that it's going to lower your blood pressure and it's going to do that? I try to just be a little subtle with it. And I could be like, I see you're stressed. I'm like, you know what, once we get Fifi back at home resting with you, you know, that's going to take some of your anxiety down. But with that also being said, I do feel that more education on, did you even know? Like, did you know? You know, some cute little fun facts that practices can put, you know, whether they're in their offices or just some cute fun facts on their social media, I do feel like that's going to help too. And so then if you plant those seeds out, you know, like I said, out and about, and then when they come into the room and they'll be like, oh my God, I did read that. And so, yes, then that can help.
Awesome. And I guess since we kind of mentioned it before with your organization, how you work with, I believe it's youth to help them learn more about the vet industry as well as gain that animal human bond. Like, what is the real impact that you've seen just by doing this?
So the biggest I've seen, goodness gracious, I've seen some kids that are just, that they come in and they are down and out and they just go sit in a corner with a pet. I've seen fears in terms of the stigma behind maybe a certain breed or a larger breed dog. I've seen that be resolved. I've seen the benefits of youth development through the human animal bond. I've seen that with my own family members, where one of my young cousins' first word was my dog, right? And before he could walk well, he was already feeding, you know, my dog, or, you know, making sure that he had water. And those are all, you know, youth development skills. And it's instilling confidence in them at such a young age. And then we're sparking an interest that they may not have even ever thought about. And so that is very key. And so even after an event, if I get a message back, or if I get another referral to maybe someone that's older that wants to come and be a part of our shadow program, that's big, because they didn't even know that that was an option that was available to them. And so just to pique that curiosity and be like, hey, I want to know a little bit more about, you know, animals or veterinary medicine, because each one is a win-win either way, whichever way they decide that they want to know. And I think that's, and then it starts there.
I feel like it sounds like it kind of went full circle for you. Like, you had your teacher that helped spark that interest, and then you passed it along to that other girl that you asked her about the pet. And then, you know, it's like kind of continuing the cycle, and that's so nice, and growing the vet industry as well.
It's growing vet industry. It's growing animal industry, which I also love, because I do have to respect that not everybody is meant to be a veterinarian. So we also provide career exploration. So there are other careers in animal industry where they can still experience the human animal bond. You know, they can still work with animals or go into an office as a pharmaceutical rep and then just go see, what animals do you have? What pets are here today? You know, so that's very big to me as well, because you never know where, and they may feel self-confident and insecure about that, because they're like, I can't be a veterinarian. And I'm like, that's okay. You could be a vet tech. You could be a client service representative and just be in the building. You know, you could be in research. There's so many different opportunities, and that's the objective. We want to be able to provide that.
Yeah, for sure. And for people who are, I guess, younger and in the industry and want to do similar things to what you're doing. So like, obviously maybe they want to be a vet or a tech or whatever that is, but they also want to make a difference and maybe start their own nonprofit or organization or whatever that looks like. Like, what is the biggest advice you have, or what have you learned the most from your whole journey?
Everything's a learning curve. I mean, I'm learning so much in terms of and it, I think it's more of networking, mentors. You know, I don't know much about nonprofits. This is like, I just want to do it. And that's my personality. It's like, I just want to do it. I just want to make it happen. And then my family members have to reel me back in. And it's like, there's a process that goes along with that. So I think before anyone decides to jump into it, volunteer around. I mean, if you want to know the truth about it, Pets Help the Heart Heal. My vision, of course, is to be global. So, you know, how can you give back? Are there organizations in your area that are doing that so that maybe either you can figure out they're doing their part, where's the need that I may do my part? So you don't have to reinvent the wheel if it's already there. You just put in the work and help that place grow. But if there's a little part that they haven't tapped into, either you bring that to the table or you say, this could be the branch that unites everybody. And we just have one goal and one mission. And so then let everyone do their part in that respect.
Mm-hmm. And so how has COVID-19 affected, I guess, how people are experiencing the human animal bond, like in Vet Matter, from what you've seen?
So the veterinary industry, I will say that we did not suffer during COVID. As a matter of fact, we enhanced. I mean, I come in and from the moment I get there to the moment I go home, the appointments are there. We saw a boom in puppies and kittens that you may have even seen in the media where the shelters were empty. So with that, people obviously were dealing with their own stresses. And so this was a way they realized that pets could help that. Now our job is to maintain it, right? So as things start to open up, as veterinarians, we need to stay in communication with our clients. Once again, whether we provide tools or resources or whether we're doing it one-on-one of what it's going to look like when you go back to work, because separation anxiety is real, not only for the person, but also for the pets. And so that is my fear about the impact of COVID. I do feel that people that are getting pets and are really and truly benefiting from them, whether they are getting out of their house and exercising more because that COVID-15 weight did come on, but because of their pet, they were able to get it down, you know? Hopefully people are not as, you know, less likely, not only because of COVID to not go to the hospital, but maybe they're not going because of the benefits of the human animal bond and they are active and their blood pressure is better. And these things are improving their overall lifestyle. So those doctor appointments aren't as frequent. So those are, you know, it has some positive things. And then we just have to be mindful of potential negative components of COVID.
You have almost like a hope in your mind of what you would hope the future would look like, you know, post COVID. And you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but like something that you're working towards or, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be another part of it for us in terms of what happens. But once again, we have to do our part to advocate and protect the bond. So that's where that patient care and well-being is going to come into play. And it's so interesting because I read articles and I didn't even think about it, but it's true. It's like, all right, if your pet is screaming, right, all day now that you're gone and you're in an apartment, you know, because, and the neighbors are complaining, I mean, that's going to be something we're going to have to deal with. And so we have to start now. We're going to have to start now. In terms of educating clients and once again, providing more tools and resources on either trainers or, you know, at least letting them know, hey, you might even want to put away a little savings account for daycare, you know, for pet daycare, just in case. And so that's going to be real and we have to be mindful of it and know that it potentially could happen.
Yeah. And my last question for you really is, do you have like a story that you can share like that happened to you throughout all of your work with the human animal bond?
So my biggest one, and this is also before I started my organization, and I think this was, It's funny now, you look back and I was like, it's my eye opener. I will never forget it. It was a client that came in and he had a dog and, you know, the dog needed radiographs or x-rays. And we were going to take the dog away to go take the pictures. And he started off very nice. And then he got a little heightened, a little agitated, not confrontational, but it was just more emotionally heightened. And of course me, I'm like, well, what the devil is going on? What had just happened here? And so then we as veterinarians start to get defensive. Like, why is this person changing on us? And we haven't done anything wrong. That's the biggest thing. I didn't do anything wrong. And so then afterwards he was like, can I just get closer to the door? Can I just get closer to the door? And I was like, what? And so, and that's when he says, I am a military vet. I just got back. This dog is my lifeline. And I apologize. I apologize for my behavior. I just need him with me. And so that was my first story. I mean, that was even before I started it, but it was like, wow, that's real, you know, and he needs that dog to keep going. And so then I took down my defensive barriers and I became more empathetic. And so that made a big difference. It made a big impact in my life because I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. No, that sounds like a very like touching experience for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. And, you know, we are really happy that you're here with us, but we always end our podcast with like a little Q&A for you as well. Just like quick questions for the speaker. So
sure. Let's do it.
Yeah. The first question is just like, what is your ultimate career goal if you have one?
So my ultimate career goal is to have a Pets Help the Heart Heal headquarter where we can continue to do the mission and do the work and not be confined to veterinary hours, right? So I would love to have that building and be able to have kids come in and, you know, be a reward system like, hey, I did good, you know, at the foster care place or whatever. Can I go over to Pets Help the Heart Heal and play with some puppies? That is my ultimate goal. So I can do that on the weekends and continue to practice veterinary medicine Monday through Friday. At the end of the day, that would be my perfect world. That is my career goal. And so, yeah, that's what I want to be able to do.
I love that. So what would be your quote or philosophy that you live by? Do you have anything that you have in mind?
So it's funny. My dad would always tell me when I mentored teens, I've kind of always been in that world. And he would say, he's like, you're not meant to touch everybody, but if you can just touch the life of one, then you're doing your part. And so that's what I do. So no matter how many people I interact with, if perchance something that I say or something that I do can touch the life of one person, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And so who continues to inspire you to make a change in the industry?
So my family is always encouraging me and inspiring me, but it's funny. I actually just met, because I didn't know. I was like, I'm doing this and I'm thinking that this is all I've done. This is me. And I was the first person to think of it. No, that's not true. And I actually just met Dr. Chris Carpenter of VetSetGo. And he is doing his part to encourage and inspire young kids to become veterinarians. And so, like I said, it's like-minded people coming together. So I'm doing my part. And then once I've done it and sparked the interest or ignited the spark, then I can shift them over to him to continue the work. And so his feedback and his encouragement to say, hey, Stephanie, keep going, that's been very big to me. And I literally just met him recently, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah. And so where can people find you, like email, social media, or website, all of that stuff?
So you can email me at info@petshelptheheartheal.org. You can follow me on social media at @jpetvet or off of Pets Help the Heart Heal. We have our own Instagram and Facebook page as well. And we also have a website and it's www.petshelptheheartheal.org.
Nice. Thank you. Well, yeah, thanks again, Dr. Jones. Really appreciate you being with us. And also a big thank you to our NextPod listeners. Remember, you are the future. Join us next month for another in-depth talk.